Well, we do have an interesting day in store today in class at the Warren County Radio Bible School. Today we're going to read from the Rockcliffe Review. Following that, we're going to conclude a Sunday school lesson on how Peter's faith was tested when he walked upon the water. And then there's going to be a little poetry. And following that, we'll see how far we can get into the next Sunday school lesson, which is so significant. It's in Matthew chapter 16, where Peter makes the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Before I read from the Rockcliffe Review and get into these various things we're going to try to accomplish today, let me remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read to you from the Rockcliffe Review. And that's the catchy little title that we give to the bulletin that we pass out to all those who assemble with us on Sunday mornings. And, as usual, the bulletin captures something we're doing in the sermon that morning. And I've been trying to preach through Isaiah. And I've come to the chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40. And I titled the name of this bulletin article, "Behold Your God." Let me read that to you. Beginning in Isaiah 40, the attention of the prophet turns from the Assyrian threat to his own generation and turns to their children of 100 years later who would be in exile in Babylon. God wanted Isaiah to comfort them, Isaiah 1:1-2. The prophet did so by writing the scroll that these children would unroll and read to each other in their captivity. They would experience some of this comfort themselves, but much of what Isaiah prophesied would be fulfilled in the coming of Christ. The prophecies of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3-11, are those kinds of prophecies. A voice would be heard in the wilderness calling out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." This revelation would not be just for the Jews, for all flesh shall see it together, Isaiah 43-5, Jew and Gentile. This was not Isaiah's private interpretation, 2 Peter 1:20. Isaiah said, "The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it," Isaiah 40:5. These God-breathed words would outlive the prophet, the people of his day, and the children of the captivity. They were all but flesh, and all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever, Isaiah 40:5-8. We will read these words again. When James compares the passing glory of rich man to the flower that falleth to perish in the burning heat, James 1:11. We will read these words a third time, as Peter applies them to the forever-enduring gospel he preached in 1 Peter 1:24-25. At the beginning of the first part of this scroll, Isaiah wrote how the law would go forth out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2:2-3. Now at the beginning of the second part, the prophet says, "O Zion, that bring us good tidings. Get thee up to the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bring us good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say to the cities of Judah, Behold your God, Isaiah 40 and verse 9. As Isaiah had spoken of the judgment of the Lord in Isaiah 2 verse 4, so now also he says, Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him, Isaiah 40 and verse 10. That strong ruling arm would also be the gentle arm that would comfort his people. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young, Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Some have supposed Isaiah may have been speaking of the coming of King Cyrus. Cyrus would overthrow Babylon and allow the captives to return to Jerusalem. But Cyrus was not the Lord, and Cyrus was not God, Isaiah 40 verses 3, 5, 8, 9, and 10. Long after Isaiah, the Jews of his day and the children of exile had perished like grass. But a voice would be heard in the wilderness preparing the way for Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all identify this forerunner as John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3. Mark 1, 2 through 3, Luke 3, 4 through 6, and John 1, 23. On Jordan's banks, John declared, Behold, the Lamb of God, John 1, 36. But from Jerusalem and Zion, it would be Peter who would lift up his voice with strength to reveal the glory of the Lord and to bring the glad tidings. God hath made the same Jesus both Lord and Christ, Acts 2:39. All flesh would see it together, for this gospel would be preached into all the world. Jesus would establish his kingdom against all opposition. Its survival and growth would demonstrate that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11 and verse 15. That strong ruling arm would also be the arm that would carry the redeemed in his bosom. For twice Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he followed, I know my sheep. John 10, 11 and 14. These words would comfort the children of the captivity. They would comfort the generations that followed. And they continue to comfort all today who will read and understand. Like all those who have gone before, our flesh will perish, but the gospel of the kingdom shall stand, and that gospel reveals how we can be forever safe in the arms of Jesus. With that, we end the reading of the Rockcliffe Review. And we return to this Sunday school lesson about Peter's lesson in trust when he walked upon the sea. And I want to read to you Matthew chapter 14 and verse 33, where it says, And they that were in the boat worshipped him, that's worshipped Jesus, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Their fear was gone. Their faith was strengthened. All gathered around him, worshipped him, reverently bowing before him, and avowed that he was the Son of God. John 6 and verse 21 says, And straightway the boat was at the land where they were going. On account of the wind subsiding in the quiet sea, they came easily and at once to the port. Christ in the boat is its salvation. The life with Christ in it is a success. The home with Christ in it cannot be wrecked. The church with Christ in it cannot die. It has been truly said, a ship in the sea is safe so long as the sea is not in the ship. The church is safe in the world so long as the world is not in the church. Jesus and the apostles landed in the country of Gennesaret. Mark 6 and verse 53. This is a beautiful plain on the western shore of the sea, about 4 miles long and 2 or 3 miles wide. Capernaum was at the northern end of it. And as soon as Jesus landed, he pressed on toward Capernaum. And the people from all that region round about flocked to him with their variously affected ones and besought him that he might only touch the border of his garment. And as many as his touched were made whole. It was before this that the woman who had an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the border of his garment and was healed. Now that ends that Sunday school lesson. But like I said, there's some poetry here at the wind. This by Annie Johnson Flint. Hold thou my hand, O Lord, and no light or head shows me the path my faltering feet must tread. To what far depths of darkness and woe might I not fall if thou shouldest let me go? Lord, hold my hand. Hold thou my hand. That tireless clasp means strength, patience, and peace, and blessings. Till at length my storm-tossed soul can calmly take its way, and need no longer in such anguish pray. Lord, hold my hand. And this one by Robert Browning. Unanswered yet? The prayer your lips have pleaded in agony of heart these many years? Dies faith? Does faith begin to fail? Is hope departing? And thank you all in vain those failing tears? Say not the Father hath not heard your prayer. You shall have your desire sometime, somewhere. Unanswered yet? Though when you first presented this one petition at the Father's throne, it seemed you could not wait the time of asking, so urgent was your heart to make it known. Though years have passed since then, do not despair. The Lord will answer you sometime, somewhere. Unanswered yet? Nay, do not say ungranted. Perhaps your part is not yet wholly done. The work began when your first prayer was uttered, and God will finish what he has begun. If you will keep the incense burning there, his glory you shall see. Sometime, somewhere. Unanswered yet? Faith cannot be unanswered. Her faith with planted firmly on the rock amid the wildest storm, she stands undaunted, nor quails before the loudest thundershock. She knows omnipotence has heard her prayer and cries, it shall be done, sometime, somewhere. And now we come to the next Sunday school lesson in the life of Peter and of his letters. It's about Peter's great confession. This is a Sunday school lesson that Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of April the 17th, 1927. The lesson text is Matthew 16, 13 through 24. And now Jesus came to the parts of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. That's as far as we'll get today. Come back tomorrow and we'll continue.